Welcome to the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast from Fluent in 3 months.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. I'm your host, Benny Lewis, and in today's episode, I want to wrap up my experience in Malaysia and Brunei and give you a summary of it. I'm actually recording this from Taipei, Taiwan. I just got here over the weekend and I'll be sharing a bunch of my Chinese project and experiences in future podcasts. But first, I wanted to reflect on these last 2 months as I add these two new countries to my visited list. Malaysia was definitely a positive experience all around. I could communicate with locals with very little effort from adjusting my Indonesian that I had learned last year. The difference between Malay and Indonesian is more along the lines of the differences between dialects of something like European languages, since they have different accents and use certain different words, but the language itself works mainly the same. So I was comfortable with getting off the beaten track and spending essentially the entire time here with locals. And those locals were always so incredibly friendly, especially outside of the touristy areas. The reaction I got with my struggling, mistake-ridden, horrible basic Malay was always absolutely incredible and heartwarming. And they were so curious to hear me speak and to ask me questions about myself. And also, when I say I've been off the beaten track, what I mean is that Malaysia is pretty undiscovered for the large part by Western tourists. But that's not quite the case that it's not a beaten track, because it's a huge destination for Chinese tourists, because absolutely everywhere I went, I would be surrounded by them. And that's on top of a huge local Chinese diaspora. So I heard quite a lot of Mandarin, and that meant that for a period of a couple of weeks, I actually put my Malay studies on hold to specifically refresh my Mandarin so I could interact with those other tourists a little bit more, as I was seeing them quite a lot. I also happened to be traveling through Malaysia leading up to the Chinese New Year, as well as the beginnings of Ramadan. So the Chinese New Year influences all the decorations and themes of so many places I was at. It's something along the lines of how you tend to see Christmas decorations in the West for all of December. And it really emphasizes the Chinese influence, since you don't tend to see stuff like that as strongly outside of the likes of China or Taiwan. And this entire visit was teasing me with Chinese culture, and it's ultimately what pushed me over the edge to just make the decision to go and focus on that very thing for these next 2 months. So anyway, I went from north to south Malaysia, starting in Kuala Lumpur and hanging out in Georgetown, Penang, then down to Ipoh and Malacca, and finally Johor Bahru, and of course going out of those cities to visit a little bit as well. In the last one, Johor Bahru, I had a view of Singapore as I wrapped up peninsular Malaysia. Then I was back in Borneo again, since I was already on the Indonesian side of Borneo, of that big island, last year. And this time I went from Kuching up to Brunei and finally to Kota Kinabalu. And Brunei, my 50th country, was incredibly different to the rest of Malaysia, including Malaysian Borneo, despite them having the same language. So Ramadan was taken incredibly seriously there, and something like eating during the day anywhere but your hotel room was strictly illegal. Whereas in Malaysia, I guess maybe the huge Chinese population meant they couldn't practically keep that rule enforced, and you barely notice any difference as a visitor during Ramadan unless you're truly spending time with the Muslim communities. I found Brunei very sleepy and quiet, essentially. And I felt like I had the whole place to myself as I walked around during the day. Brunei was definitely more expensive, so I only ended up spending a couple of days there, to be practical. But Malaysia, the rest of it in general, was super affordable. I could stay in lovely apartments with nice views, eat out, or get food delivered, take taxis, and my wallet barely noticed. So definitely among the cheaper destinations that you can find in the likes of Southeast Asia and the world in general. And in Georgetown, I did my big annual medical checkup, and I found it's more affordable than the likes of Thailand, about a third the price of what I was paying in Thailand for my medical checkups. And that already is significantly cheaper than it is in the West. So that alone gives me a really good reason, a good practical reason to want to come back. Also, this trip had the theme of visiting cities rather than nature. And my last week, I was staying in my apartment most of the time, so I could focus on studying Mandarin ahead of coming to Taiwan. So that last stop of Kinabalu, despite that, quickly became among my favorite stops on this trip, since it's in that Goldilocks zone of not too big and not too small a city. It's just right, and it's right next to so much nature and a nice big mountain that you can hike and a lot of other things. And even within the city, you get these absolutely gorgeous sunsets, some of the most beautiful I've ever seen. So I definitely have good reasons to come back to very specific places like Kota Kinabalu, without necessarily needing to do another big trip over the entire country like I did this time. And while my Malay did help me whenever I was away from city centers and big apartment blocks, ultimately, for the most part, most people I met who weren't Chinese tourists actually had an excellent level of English. It's one reason why I would recommend Malaysia to people who don't necessarily have language learning aspects to their travel like I do, who want to visit or come for something specific like medical tourism. And for comparison, when I was traveling through Indonesia last year, I found that speaking Indonesian was absolutely essential outside of Bali and Jakarta. And this is, of course, the English influence is true in Malaysia because of its complex history and its influence as a British colony. And with that British influence, the Malay native population, the Chinese diaspora and tourists, the Muslim and the non-Muslim influence, the peninsular and the Borneo parts, and for a bunch of other reasons, I'd say Malaysia is just about the hardest country to pin down into a simple summary that I visited in a really long time. But hopefully this general summary in this episode should give you a little glimpse into the experience that I've personally had with it. I am very happy I came. I had a great time. I can highly recommend it to other people. And I love it. So Malaysia definitely gets my thumbs up. Hopefully this has inspired some of you to potentially visit yourself. And otherwise, thanks as always to listening to my podcast. And until the next time, happy language learning and happy travels.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Language and Travel Hacking Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you found this episode valuable and want to help us out, please leave a review at languagehacking.com/review. The Language and Travel Hacking Podcast is presented by Benny Lewis and produced by Kittichai Boonthong, with special thanks to the Fluent in 3 Months team. The theme music was written and performed by Shannon Kennedy. Find the show notes at languagehacking.com/podcast. Thank you for listening. Happy language learning and happy travels.